Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We begin a new sermon series looking at the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and Job. And today, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz will give us an introduction entitled The Beginning of Wisdom. Our readings are taken from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7 and 2 Corinthians verses 1 to 10. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Good morning. The first Bible reading is from Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 7, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The purpose of Proverbs. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables. The words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is also taken from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. New bodies. For we know when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body, made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. For then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, may The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. Amen. So I'm glad to say it's not going to be my wisdom, but the wisdom of Scripture, which is the best. But we do have also earthly wisdom and advices. And so as we start this series that will lead us all the way to Easter, and we're going to look at wisdom, and in particular, there are three books in the Old Testament that are called wisdom books or wisdom literature, and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. We're a little bit of Psalms and Song of Songs, often called, but the three mains are those, and we're going to explore them in the next few weeks. But human wisdom or advice is good, so I want to start with this question. Think about, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given, or you've heard, was maybe not given to you personally, but you've heard and said, this is a good advice. Anyone? Yes, we have one there, Celia.
And prayed about something and made a decision, then you've got to get on and do it.
Okay, yes, thank you very much. Yes. Yeah.
Don't hit send on an email till the following morning.
Oh, yes, very good advice. Well done, Richard.
I would point out that I ignored it. The best piece of advice was about 50 years ago when my head teacher said, don't work for your father.
Oh. But you did. But yes, indeed. One or two more on this side. It's been heavily on that side. There we go. We have a volunteer here.
Measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, make it twice, cut once. One other. I wonder if one of the young people there might have an advice. Also.
Think not what you can do, your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. No. Okay. Yes. Final.
My father always told me, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah. And actually, I'll show, because that's one of the most popular one. And of course, actually, it's a Bible one. So here are some of the top that people would say if you ask the question. Learn to say no. You know, prioritize. Never stop learning and growing as a person. Good advice. Keep learning, keep growing. Treat others how you want them to treat you. And practice gratitude. It's growing, this mindfulness. You know, practice gratitude, practice being grateful. See what you have and not what you don't have. So this piece of advice, a good piece of advice, exemplified what wisdom is. And Richard said something about it. It's not just knowledge. It's not just facts. But it's bringing knowledge, facts, and experiences all together to make wise decisions and to apply. It's applied knowledge with insight. So wisdom is not just an accumulation of facts or information, but it's the ability to use that knowledge effectively and thoughtfully in real-life situation, taking into account context, experience, and potential consequences to make sound judgments and decisions. So essentially, it is applied knowledge. And here is an example. Knowledge is realizing that the street is one way. You've seen the sign, you know it's one way. But wisdom is looking both directions anyway. And you understand. So we need wisdom in all aspects of our lives. We need wisdom to manage time, money, priorities. We need wisdom to make moral choices, how we ought to live, how to live well. We need wisdom in our relationships to resolve conflicts, to make meaningful connections, to grow with understanding and patience. We need emotional wisdom to foster resilience, and there is a lot of that today in our context in Western, resilience, maintain perspective, having discernment. We need wisdom in major decisions like studies and careers and marriage and much more. The Bible wisdom literature, as I said, is concentrated on those three books, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes, with some addition in the Psalm and Song of Solomon. But this series will really focus on those three books, and today we will focus on Proverbs, and we read the first chapter, the introduction of that book. But all those three books wrestle with profound questions that resonate with all of us. What kind of world are we living in? And how can we live well in that world? What does the good life look like, and how can it be achieved? And each book offers a unique perspective on these questions. And together they provide that comprehensive view of what does it mean to live wisely in God's world. And I encourage you in your life group notes, there are links if you can, or you do that at home, and I will send it as an email. But there is Bible Project, and it's very easy. You put BibleProject.com, and you get there. And there is a good introduction on those wisdom literature and each books. But one of the introduction that I really found helpful is those three pictures as you compare the three books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And this is how it's presented. Proverbs is like a brilliant teacher, full of knowledge, offering clear-cut truth, optimistic and convinced that if you apply those saying, you will live a good life, a successful life, a meaningful life. In other words, this is the book that says you reap what you sow. Now, Ecclesiastes, on the other hand, is more like a sharp middle-aged critique who challenges that optimism, saying, well, you think that if you do this, that will always be, action and reaction. It's always the case. He said, well, think again, because life is a little bit more complex than that. No, he acknowledges the truth of those saying and the wisdom, but he also grapples with the reality that often things are beyond our control. Life can be unpredictable. And also that there is limitation to our understanding. Things happen that are beyond our understanding, that are just in the sphere of God's knowledge. And so for him, if the first book is you reap what you sow, for him is sometimes the reaping and the sowing doesn't really make sense. And then you have Job. And Job is like this seasoned, weathered man who has endured much in life. And history addresses the reality of suffering and the reality that sometimes you reap what you haven't sown. And how do I make sense, or how do I live well in the reality of suffering, in the reality of things that don't seem to make sense? So this is going to be a bit later, Ecclesiastes and Job. Today we start with Proverbs. I'm going just to take some time to think about its author, its purpose, but ultimately its source, its inspiration. So we read in the first sentence of that first chapter that the author is Solomon. Solomon, the son of King David, himself king of Israel. And you might know that Solomon had a dream, and in the dream God told him to ask whatever he wanted, and he would give it. And instead of requesting wealth and power and a long life, Solomon asked for wisdom. Wisdom to govern his people, and wisdom to discern between right and wrong. That was his prayer, his request, his response to God's offer. And God was so pleased that not only he gave him wisdom, but he also blessed him with honor and riches. And this is the person who puts together those proverbs. And he was known as the wisest person in the known world. Even Queen Bathsheba came all the way from her kingdom because he was so well known. But of course, it was God behind him. The source was divine. God granted him wisdom because he wanted to govern well his people, and he wanted to know the difference between right and wrong. And so in that introduction of the book, we have its purpose. And the first purpose is to teach, to help us gain understanding, to instruct, to help the readers with the necessary skills, a little bit like you learn a new trade, and someone comes along and knows the trade, so he teaches you, he instructs you, so you can get all those skills. Then, not just to teach and to give you kind of knowledge and information, but understanding, insight, to let it sink in, to sharpen then your ability then to discern. And it's a little bit, again, when you find a trait, at the first it becomes a little bit difficult, and you know, you just copy the things, but then it becomes more natural. And maybe even if, for example, you learn an instrument, then you start improving. You not just follow the notes and the rules and the regulations, but you might have then some kind of improvisation. And in the same way, you start having insight. The third is to instill, that's to encourage, to implant prudence or carefulness, being cautious, being far-sighted, seeing the consequence of some of our actions can have, having discretions, knowing what is right, what is just, and what is fair. What is right, what is just, and what is fair. Offering guidance for the young or the inexperienced. In other words, it's to start you on your way. If you don't know where to start, if you want to grow wisdom, start there. That's to start you on your way. And the book is written as a father speaking to his son, a little bit that's mentoring, helping that son to grow, starting on his way. But it's not just for them, it's also for those who are already on their way to keep you on your way. In that slide with some of the wise advice, never stop learning, never stop growing. And so it's also for us, for all of us. And finally, to reveal riddles or parables is to help us sometimes the deeper meaning of a story. And you know that Jesus had lots of parables. And so they were kind of ways of speaking in wisdom, because if you really want to know, you need to take time, you need to listen deeply, you need to accept its authority and to work it through. So, a little bit like the ones that I just gave you, you can know it's a one-way street, that's knowledge, but wisdom is to still look both ways. So, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is not just this knowledge, but wisdom itself is personified. In the same chapter, we have, out in the open, wisdom calls out. She raises her voice in public square. On top of the wall, at noisy street's corner, she cries out at the city gate. She makes her speech. And that's because in Hebrew, wisdom, or chokmah, is actually well translated in the Message, which is often a translation that's a bit more loose, but tries to understand. And it's translated there by Lady Wisdom. It's a personified attribute of God himself. And it's embedded in the whole fabric of reality. It shapes how things work in God's created order. So when you make a good decision, a just decision, a wise decision, a fair decision, you are, in a sense, tapping into that chokmah. You are working, you are living, you are acting within the grain of the created order. And when you act foolishly, then you are living, you are working, you are acting against the grain of that created order. And so there is this kind of life foundational principle for wisdom literature, is that following chokmah, wisdom, brings right standing and life It's life-giving. And rejecting chokmah leads to folly and destruction. For example, in chapter 3 it says, blessed are those who find wisdom, chokmah, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Life, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. That's the promise of aligning our lives, our decisions, our actions, our way of living with chokmah. And it's even chokmah that's the attribute of God that was used in creation itself. By wisdom or chokmah, the Lord laid the foundation of the earth. By chokmah, he set the heavens in place. And so this personified reality, Lady Wisdom, rooms the earth, calling out to anyone willing to listen and to learn. And so that book is inspired by that Lady Wisdom, calling to you and me, who will listen, who will read, who will learn, who will apply. She offers the chance to build a beautiful life for yourself and others. And so it's not abstract knowledge, it's practical, it's skill of living well, like the expert craftsman who learns a craft and follow the rules so that what then is expressed through his craftsmanship is beautiful and constructive. And so Lady Wisdom shows that it's not just human advices, good advices, they can be good, but it's divinely inspired. It's God's own attributes that is expressed in this book. And to access it, we finished that first reading, we must begin with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of chokmah, wisdom. The fear of God, the fear of our Maker, is because we recognize He made, He's the Master, He's the Ruler, He is that supreme authority. And if I submit to that, good will happen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the start of true understanding. And this is not being scared of God, like you would be scared of, you know, coming into a ruler that's not a good ruler. You'd be scared if you go to someone who knows is not there for your own good. If you have to appear to a dictator, you would be scared. But this is not that kind of attitude towards God, because God is good. His intentions are good for his creation. That's the whole purpose of creation, Genesis 1. He sees and it was good. So the fear of the Lord is that reverence and that awe. It's realizing, I am not God. God is God. And I am not the one who decides what is wrong and what is right. I submit myself out of respect, reverence, and a sense of awe. He knows. He has the right definitions of what is good and evil. And so true wisdom means I submit myself to his boundaries, to his guidance, those that are set by the Maker. In other words, it is saying with humility, we are not God as a human being, as a human species. It is not we who decide, but he. He is the one who defines what is right, what is fair, and what is just. Now, in the New Testament, Paul ties wisdom with eternity. He brings this eternal perspective, showing that the fear of the Lord shapes our priority, it drives our actions, it prepares us for the ultimate meeting, which is meeting God, where there will be accountability. And so he reminds us that our earthly life is fleeting. Yes, we have bodies, they're growing old, and a bit older and older, and they start creaking, and we know our life is fleeting. We know that in this earthly tent, we live for a moment. But the Christian hope is that through the resurrection, there is another reality. There is a resurrected body. There is something that is after death, or what N.T. Wright says, after death, after death. After, no, life after death. There we go. Life after death. Because we're going to die, yes, and we're going to be in that place of rest. But that's not the Christian hope. The Christian hope is the resurrection of the body, when God will, at one point, says, that's it, and will bring all those who have died into resurrected life. And what's crucial there is, what have I done with Jesus? Have I put my trust in him as my Savior, as the one who rescues me? And have I learned to live a life that expresses his purposes? And so he calls us in that passage to live a life that pleases God. In other words, to live a life that's within the grain of Chokmah. And he says, so we make it our goal to please him. It's not just individually, it's as a church. We make it our goal to please him. All our ministries, all the things we do as a church should be, our goal should be to please him, to express his intention. It's not about us. It's about God's plan. So knowing that our time on earth is short, we live not for ourselves. The church doesn't live for themselves. We evaluate our lives, we evaluate what we do as a church, and we learn to walk in the fear, in the reverence, and in the awe of the Lord. And finally, there is reality. One day there will be judgment. And so we live today in that light. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so the wise person understands that his action, his thoughts, his motives will be measured. As Christians, yes, we are saved through Christ, but we will be measured for how we have lived, how we have used our time, our talents, our money, our priorities, our relationship. What we see, what we think, what we say, all that are part of that book of Proverbs. And the fear of judgment is not meant to paralyze us. Again, it's not meant to make us scared, but it's actually meant to motivate us to live beautiful life, to live in the power of God's Holy Spirit, to walk in his way of life, to live worthy lives in his sight, and to serve others in love. So to finish with, wisdom begins with that reverence and that awe of God, the fear of the Lord. And Paul reminds us to live with eternity in mind. So here's the challenge. Maybe at the start of this series, maybe you've never read the Proverbs. Maybe you don't even know where it is in the Bible. It's not too hard, you know, kind of middle of the Bible. Or if you don't know, go to the table of contents and look at Proverbs. And maybe as a start is for you to commit in the coming weeks to read Proverbs. And there's two big parts. There is kind of 1 to 10, which is a more kind of an introduction, a preface. And then you have the rest, which are short sayings, usually one verse. And sometimes you just read a few and you have to pause because you're like, whoa, this is, you know, I need to let it sink. But give it a go. Commit yourself to read. Dive into its promises, its warnings, its teaching, and its instructions. Let it shape your decisions, refine your values, and transforms your attitude towards life, towards God, and towards others. Wise people generally thrive because they live within the grain of the created order. And so their choices, their attitude, their actions are more and more in line with God's will. But we also need to remember that life isn't always predictable, and that sometimes wise people face hardships, suffering, setbacks, and sometimes not wise people, and Proverbs will say the fools, prosper. And this tension reminds us that while Proverbs gives us principle for living wisely, life's complexity also requires humility. And that's why we have the two other books, which we will explore in the next few weeks, Job and Ecclesiastes. But for now, can we commit ourselves to read Proverbs, to live with this assurance that we are meant for eternity, and we will have to show accountability. And let this knowledge not paralyze us, but inspire us to live intentionally, purposefully, and boldly, walking in his presence and relying in his strength. This is wisdom in action. Will you take the first step? Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.